Apologies here from Pastor Andrew, Pastor Kern, Pastor Quinn, Pastor Martyr, Pastor Devon. Okay. Let's move on then to Chairman Clark. It is important that we start the meeting with the sad passing last month of a gentleman from Hilton, Jared Lyman. I think it's a traffic accident, so we will send a letter of condolences to his family. And of course, we actually collect Marketeer's cousin as well, which is quite sad. Okay. Then move on. I'd actually like to congratulate everyone that was involved in and organized and participated in the Pride Festival in Yearly at the weekend. For the whole week, they had a fantastic week. It's just unfortunate, and I'm really shocked and annoyed and upset. I just can't believe that five members of the Pride Committee were viciously attacked at the weekend after coming out of the Pride Ball. Very sad that anyone has been attacked for being the people that they are. That is atrocious, and I would condemn it wholeheartedly. And I want to wish everyone a speedy recovery, and while they might recover, I think, physically, very quickly. I do believe one of the guys is very seriously injured. I think the emotional impact on this will be far-reaching and will extend. So I want to send our best wishes to them all on behalf of the council. I wish them all a speedy recovery, and I will be talking to them all in due course. Next on, I want to congratulate our own team, our own council staff team, for the fantastic festivals that we had. Last month we talked about the skipping. And then from that, we've had festivals like Wake the Giant and Footsteps in the Forest. The video reach alone of Wake the Giant was over a quarter of a million, which is significantly impressive. For the independent economic assessors, there's been 1.3 million social media reaches that happened, and also the region has an economic benefit to that of 5.9 million in the region of that. So that's pretty extensive and pretty impressive for that period of time. Absolutely fantastic. And I just want to congratulate all of the team for everything and all the work. And you know, I was there at all of the festivals, obviously. I participated in whatever fun way I felt that I could. I didn't get trampled on by the Giant, and Dave and I just went on a little journey up into the heights of the Giant. But I was just like to say how fantastic it was, how good fun it was, and the amount of people that came out and supported it. Weather didn't always go with us, but we can't do it for that. But it was just absolutely fantastic. So congratulations to Maria and all her team and all the crew that were heavily involved in that. Just for my first one, said congratulations to Kerry O'Flaherty. She was over there from Newcastle, who actually represented Ireland in the Olympics for us in the steeplechase. She didn't qualify for the next round for the semi-finals, however, she still represented Ireland in the Olympics. At that level, it's pretty impressive. Congratulations also to Sean Ryan, a young 9-year-old from Burton, who actually won the Irish Junior Open Golf Championship. That's a competition that's opened on the 16th, and he's only a wee small whippet of a lad, and he's only 9, and absolutely congratulations to him. He's got a really, really bright future for himself. I think it would be remiss of me to ignore Conor Wallace and Owen Murphy from Yuri for their role in Conor McGregor's beating of Nate Diaz. Absolutely congratulations, and I'll be talking to you those guys in due course. So that's all I have to say for Chairman's remarks, and we'll move on to declarations of interest.
Chair, could I just pass comment, please? If you don't mind. I just want to concur with your sentiments in relation to the Pride Parade in Yuri. I've covered other councillors from here attended the parade. And not only was it a great event, but thousands upon thousands of people actively enjoyed it along the streets. And the numbers attending seem to be increasing all the time. And hence, it was a deep shock. The devastating news that five people who had put so much effort and time into that event were then callously attacked for homophobic reasons on the early Sunday night, Sunday morning. And I believe one of the men attacked had somebody stabbed on his head and tried to really inflict serious harm to him as a result of incurred several stitches. This was an appalling attack and no way reflected the views and feelings of people in Yuri towards that parade. They also had the important news that the room that they've used for several events during the week was waterlogged, balanced partly as a result of rain. I'm just wondering if the council, in the goodness of their heart, could some states maybe try to help them resurrect that room and try to get them back on their feet again. But the attack was bad enough, but they've also lost the use of their premises. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, thank you. I'm
speaking
to David McKeon.
I'm
going to see where we can go with that.
Declaration Commission. Chairman, I want to chair Declaration Commission, Jack, the State Media Association, the RTF.
Thank you.
Good morning,
item 3, the action sheet. From the council meeting held on the 1st of August 2016.
John, the actions are noted, underway, or have been actioned. Happy to take any questions from our members.
Chair, I just want to inquire that a note that we passed on the last council meeting that councillors, two councillors would attend the Northern Ireland Economic Forum of the North and Northwest Languages. And I was just wondering, actually, Madam Chair, it used to be the procedure in the old town legacy council that a report was brought back to council, and I know that in the new council, and Councillor Barnes has already done that on one occasion, but I'm just afraid that as a council we decide to send people to a conference and maybe get them £300 each, and we deem it important enough to send them, and then we don't get any feedback at all on any report. And I was wondering that if we could make as a normal procedure, that after a conference like that, that on the next month's agenda, it would be an opportunity for a short report, maybe only 5 max 10 minutes, at least they could let all the councillors know what took place and points are relevant. There might be something come out of it, for instance, that would be relevant to the action points, say, for instance, for economic, community planning, things like that. So I think it's all part of the feedback.
Yeah, I just want to pick up on the point of the last sentence that the Prime Minister had with him to make it to the hospital. I do remember that the council on the chair asked him to extend the hospital to David Hill, at the end of the minute, that was in the late August. So it's gone to the hospital. I just want to follow up on that.
Sure. My memory is, I think we need to look at the discussion on David Hill was also included in that. But I can follow up on that there, Sean.
Chairman, just there's a correction. I'm now bring Aileen in on the correction.
Yeah.
On the just a feeling on
there's one correction to the minute of the council meeting on the 1st of August. The feeling of documents still 152 there on page 7. It was a priority agreement with the Murray Olympic Hockey Club. It was also a financial contribution agreement that both documents were signed at the meeting, and so maybe just reflect that in the minute.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Item 5, Minister's Special Council meeting held on the 27th of August, page 1, page 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7,
just in a matter of writing it up there, Chairman, we've received a subsequent letter on page 17 from Sony asking us in terms of for a letter of support to be sent to the Planning and Peace Commission and the Department of Infrastructure in regard to the importance of the North Side Interconnector. And so I'm seeking with members be content to know those that support the meeting, content to be we submit a letter on that basis.
Just in the meeting as well, there was a lot of discussion about there was more appetite for an underground interconnector than there was in the overhead. Maybe that after that.
I was happy to include that in there.
Yes. One of the items that we did say in that was the financial burden. We're good to see you back.
Okay.
Okay. 6 minutes of the ERT committee held 8th of August. Page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Silver
bomb. Seconded. Jen Hannah? Any more questions? No? Okay. And then, fusion with them. Minutes of the SCNR Committee, the 11th of August, page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Opposed?
Opposed.
Yeah, sir, just in relation to the appointment to the Development Trust for the project in Gainesville. Just again, the same argument that we made at the application in relation to the main public committee. Again, I would propose that we, instead of the appointment to that we appoint three or four more respectful of the public council.
Okay.
Sure, as someone who was opposed to it at the committee, I still remain opposed. I think it's only right that items within the Rowan area should be left to Rowan councillors, and we were reflective on cross community support there in proposing Councillor Andrews and Councillor Harvey. Now, I would make a counter proposal if Sinn Féin want to come on to it. Now, as I said at the last meeting, they don't have any political representation there. That's not my fault. The electorate didn't vote for them there in Rowan. But if they're insisting, sitting that they want on to this committee, I would make a counter proposal that the five Rowan councillors then are all elected onto it. Because I should have a right in my own electoral area to be there. The first people that come to council state it, preferably two councillors from the Rowan DEA. We tried to do it fairly enough through our DEA and saying Councillor Andrews and Councillor Harvey. We come to that agreement, so we did. Then Sinn Féin wanted on to it. They don't have political representation. But if they're insistent on it, I think the five Rowan councillors should be on it with the Sinn Féin representative. That would be representative then, so it would.
Thank you, Chair. Not very of Councillor Walker, but I do agree on this occasion. The SDLP fully supports the recommendation from the DEA, and I think if we're going to start changing political parties right across the DEA, then, for example, the DUP doesn't have a representative in St. Patrick, so will they have someone join our DEA if we were to set up a development trust? Or if you go to Newry, the DUP don't have a representative. You know, you could go right across this whole council district where one party, well, sorry, the SDLP have one in every area, but you could go across the whole area and there'd be one party that doesn't have a representative. So I would say that we accept the recommendation of the two members that the DA proposed.
Thank you, Brian.
Yeah,
sorry.
What we're seeing is this isn't just a project in St. Peter, this is a major project that the council are part of, and we as a full time agree to a major spend in another area. I think I'm representative of 14 of the councillors within the chamber. I think we have every right to vote from on that board. And I think if other councillors or other parties want to make that argument for their representative on that thing as well. You know, since we came into this council, we have made it our business to make sure that we have representation across the board, even where ourselves, the Jobs Party, have given up positions to allow smaller parties and independent groups to give them on. So I don't see why we should all of a sudden change now, but we have been that from the start.
I have thanked Sinn Féin for their support for the Sinn Féin project. I think it's fantastic that you do want to get so involved, but I do fully agree with Councillor Walker. And I felt that the compromise whereby we had cross-community support from the SDLP and GUP was the best way forward to make things clear and efficient as possible. I obviously forewent a place on that committee myself as a Rural Island councillor and a chair of SDNR, the committee who will be pushing this project forward. And I am open-minded towards Sinn Féin coming on to the trust, but that would have to be on the condition that all the councillors from the Rural Island board were included. The UUP is the second biggest party there. SDLP is second biggest, UUP third biggest, and then Alliance. We would all have to have representation before Sinn Féin.
Thank you. Sinn Féin are saying that they won't have some involvement in this because it's a major project in our council area. They already have representation on the strategic project committee. So, you know, they'll oversee this project, so they have got involvement on it. And it's also open to they can apply to become members of this group. If they want to have their activist or another area involved in it, they can openly apply to be a member.
Chair, I would like to second Councillor Walker's proposal there. I also do think that the EA councillors for this project are working.
Okay,
we'll
just
take
the first proposal
then. Right, sorry, just one quick point.
He didn't take it.
When myself was chair of this council, the project coordinator or the community group that was there actually contacted myself and contacted the council as well, because we come out and meet with them. And they also requested that they would like to see us as a party involved in our project and made us aware of the issues that are within St. Peter. So it's not for us saying that we want to come in and get in and we want to do this and do that. The people and the representatives of the community have requested that we get involved in it.
That's
no
issue.
There's
no issue with the proposal.
Sure. I respect the hard work that Sinn Féin, particularly Willie Clark, has put in to this project, even on the old council. I acknowledge that there, so I do. And I would ask Councillor Rowan, would he put an amendment that the five Rowan councillors are on it, along with yourselves there? Because I believe that's the first way forward.
Eddie,
can I just say, like, members, the Development Trust, in the majority of situations where you would be developing projects in this city, as well as a need. So, if you take five elected members or six elected members, that has an immediate knock on to the community reps that are involved. And one end of the organization, chairman, is going to be very, very large. And the whole idea of the Development Trust is a very small, concise organisation that is going to manage and make sure that the state and concentration, not only that, it manages it for the future as well. So I'm bringing it to the attention of the council. If you put five on, instead of the two that we had asked for, and then the eight out of the community summit, you'll have to multiply all of that by two again, so you'll end up with a very unwieldy organisation.
Well, Chair, I prefer the original, the two, right? I hear what the director is saying. I believed all along that the first life forward was Councillor Andrews and Councillor Harvey in relation to it. Now, I'm not being political in any sense here. Rowan is predominantly a unionist DEA. If Sinn Féin come on along with SDLP and one unionist, you're going to have two nationalist Republicans to one unionist. And I don't think that's right. I don't think that's right. So I don't. You know? No. And to be honest, if it's the case of Sinn Féin come on, the first thing that comes up in Newry, Warren Poynter down Patrick, I'd be seeking to get onto it. So, well, I will be seeking to get on there because unionist voices aren't been heard in the areas.
Okay, folks, okay. Spencer, Taylor, you're just pretending to be just the bull boy that I said. Yeah, you're taking everything. Right, okay, we've got the mayor. So, can you give us your reference again, Councillor Walker? Just a brief reference.
After hearing what the authors have said, I take it on board, and I will go back to the original committee. Remove the amendment, that it stays the same.
Okay, so then we pass it over. Can just say your... Okay, so let's...
I would like to come in there. I would like to make the amendment that all DEA councillors are included on the forum, along with a Sinn Féin representative. If I can get a second, or I assume I can move it forward.
John, the development trust in the majority of situations has a membership of between 8 to 12. John, I extend it the way that the council is going to extend it tonight. We end up with a committee of 20 plus meeting. So the council just needs to be wary of how we want to have an organization that's going to be very unwieldy, but it's going to try to implement the first scheme of this type in Northern Ireland, which is approximately £3 million scheme. And elected members will have to understand as well that when you become a member of this trust, you will also be there for the duration of the period that the trust is going to be set up. So I just want to bring that to the attention of the council so you fully understand what implications it has.
So, Patrick,
are we still
on the
there's enough discussion within the room of what they're going to vote on. So this is the amendment of Patrick Councillor Brown.
Yes.
Yes,
very well. No, we know what the amendment is.
Okay. Councillor Bailey?
Councillor Brown?
Yes.
Councillor Burgess?
Yes.
Councillor Burns?
Yes.
Sorry, Burns. Stephen Burns. Councillor Pete Burns?
Yes.
Councillor Michael Carr?
Yes.
Councillor Charlie Caffin?
Yes.
Patrick Clark?
Yes.
Willie Clark?
Yes.
Sean Dolan?
Yes.
Councillor Emmett?
Yes.
Sorry, Councillor Craig?
Yes.
Councillor Dorn is 4. Councillor Emmett?
4.
Councillor Enright?
4.
Councillor Fitzpatrick?
Again.
Councillor Hannah?
Yes.
Councillor Hart?
4.
Councillor Harvey?
Yes.
Councillor Hurley?
4.
Councillor Highland?
4.
Councillor Killen?
4.
Councillor Larkin?
4.
Councillor Loughlin? Councillor McCauley? Again. Councillor Kevin McAteer?
4.
Councillor Mulgrew?
4.
Councillor Myrna?
Again.
Councillor O'Brien?
4.
Councillor O'Murray?
4.
Councillor Riley?
Yes.
Councillor Ryan?
4.
Councillor Sharvin?
Yes.
Councillor Stokes?
Yes.
Councillor Taylor?
Yes.
Councillor Tinley?
4.
Yeah.
Councillor Traynor?
Yes.
Councillor Walker?
Again.
Have all councillors been called? Abstention?
One thing at a time.
For the amendment, 20 against the amendment, 16 and no objections.
On our basis, Chairman, that the amendment will be amended, proposed, and then the minutes will be amended to include the amendment.
Councillor Riley.
Well, Chair, it is very important. Crucial has been set here tonight. I would point out that Crotley Board doesn't have any union representation. There is constant requests from people in the matter, people like myself and Glenn Hanna and other unionists that are in board to represent their points of view on occasion. I think that this has been set that having a unionist on board, any future bodies or existing Crotley Board should be fully implemented. Thank you.
First of all, I'd just like to tell you I'm a Crotley Hearing Committee Mayor. I represent quite a lot of unionists that are DEA, so I take the take
of for that.
Okay,
moving on. Just in relation to that comment as well, when we set up the DEA in Crotley, there's no, obviously going to be no unionist representation on it. As a DEA, we instructed our DEA officers to go out to make sure that we got unionist representation on it as well as we could.
On behalf of the friends, the representatives can be very
welcome.
So, okay, Councillor Riley. There's no further comments. Item A, minutes of the Access and Housing Community, 15th.
Sorry, Councillor Carr. Yes, sorry, Chair, just a point of order. How we go about taking votes. When an amendment is proposed, seconded, and carried, does it not become a substantive motion to the Council?
Yes,
Chairman, I said that that would be included in the minutes, the proposed and seconded, so it would be included in the minutes as the action of the minutes.
It's not agreed by this Council.
Yeah, agreed by this Council. That minute has been amended
on that basis of that there have been put, and the minutes have been proposed and seconded.
Yeah, it doesn't need to go as a substantive motion to this council.
No, we could, that's now the change in minutes. Just show.
Okay.
In the Acts and Healthy Community Committee of the 13th of August, page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, proposed.
It's good that it's not in the minutes. It's
just
that we it's just, I think I have a very autism family group, and it was an idea that they raised and asked if we could maybe consider to be tabled up in a Acton and Healthy Communities meeting. They said that recently Lisburn Swimming Pool have introduced autism family time once or twice a month where. Families, children and families with affected with autism can bring their. Can go into the pool and you get at a quiet time. You've seen it now in the likes of the Butterfield and nearly supervised different places they're introducing it. And I would just like to ask if we could, if the officials could get some information on how Lisburn are operating it, and if it's something that we could look at for our district.
Shall we
move
that
to happen
again before back?
It's
a related issue on the leisure reports heading. It's not necessarily a name of the manifest, but the other issue, if you allow me in, sir.
Yes, sir.
Thanks very much. The afternoon. It's to do with the Respect Project in Uri have applied and received funding for the development of CG Pets at the Bosco. And what I'm asking this council, for this council, help them in any way they can with the guides how to get the project up and running. So,
Okay, could you do that? Yes, could you have a team and then we'll do that. Thank you. Yeah, everybody can come there. Okay. Item 9, at this moment, James is going to leave. And because he has a conflict of interest. He will be back. So we're just going to talk about the RTS. So page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So proposed.
I have an item. On page 11, Horizons, what I would like to see the editor report. I know he left because of the stay item, was not going to stay, it's coming out. Can we come back on this? I don't know if you
have to dispose it on the site, and there's just something else to do.
Yeah,
I'll have to see the editor report.
So, rather,
you
will
see
my transfer in the next place?
Yeah, that's what you have. No
sense of
best editor to have.
Did you mention it for tea, but he wasn't allowed to do it?
Tell us more about this lady. Sure, in regards to page 11 of the ALT 21 project, as councillors in this chamber will know, we were recently asked to vote on whether we stay in the appeals process, and that was true for all the constituent councils. So it went round 5 of the 6 constituent councils, and each one found voted to stay within the appeals process of R21. My understanding is that that was to be brought to Newton Abbey Council on Monday night of last week. But the item was removed and put down for voting, and was slightly brought down under the chair of our 21's, chief executive of our 21's, under his devolved responsibility. So therefore, it non voids our vote. We've heard rumours of legal challenges to this that we haven't been able to make a vote on R21 as we were and all the other councils were, and I just want to know for such an executive note, does that put us at any risk of any sort of legal action coming our way? Are we covered under the ability update for all of them?
Okay.
Chairman, again, I may need further information, but my understanding is that from Carlsbad, that being pretty much that it's been known that they're again limits. Yeah, and never required. However, because these are to vote on it, and other kinds to vote on it, you don't have to not take a vote on it because it's been known, but same point in time, the council does their own decision in terms of planning fees. So we've taken our position in terms of planning fees. So we haven't really followed the process through to its natural end in terms of planning fees. So I can't see how it would have an issue, but I can certainly back the defence on that. But I can't see where the council's made the decision, the council did not make the decision because it's down here the authority. So I don't see how it would impact the situation. No, but it'd be different the reverse way around. We've taken it, it's been delegated. You know what? It wouldn't have come to the council's decision because we'd left them to chief desire. And then it would come back to say it should be delegated, then we'd have to come down to the vote on it. Because it worked the reverse. It's a bit like, you know, the council does not make a decision, but it does make a decision. It's covering itself in terms of the council's fully informed and it's very good time for the decision that's been taken. My understanding is that the planning appeal is a process that's being proceeded with, and it will be able to resolve the appeal, and then we have an organisation to make once that has been done. But that would be done by a release of the main project itself.
Any other items? Okay. Digital intent, statute performance and limitation standards 2015-16.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I'll be very brief. You have an updated paper in your agenda pack. Really, we've received additional information from the Department of Agriculture concerning our waste management performance information. Now, there are marginal changes to that which was presented to the SPNR earlier in the month. I need your approval today, Chair, because I need to meet the statutory target on the 30th of September to put this self-assessment into the public domain. So, Chair, unless members have any questions or comments, if we could have the approval consensus.
Oh,
Chancellor.
Yeah, just a comment, maybe for Johnny. Yeah, I mean, these are statutory performance targets, presumably. I was just on the question, the first one, the number of jobs promoted. I just want to ask, are those actual jobs created? And that is, I mean, that's an excellent result there.
Yeah, just to confirm, those are jobs created. Device then given by the Assistant Director for Economic Regeneration, that this is a programme delivered on behalf of Derry, where we carry out endless activity in terms of assisting with business startup, and those are the direct jobs that are consequence of that.
Do you have a table?
Thank you.
I have 11 correspondence from the Department for Communities regarding widening the definition of care in respect to caregivers. James, can pick up on that?
The Chairman, again, this has come to ourselves to bring it to your attention. I know the Council has raised this issue regarding the widening of the definition of immediate family and also in terms of care. As you can see now, it's saying is that a care is defined as a responsible person over 16 years. You do not normally live with the counselor as part of the household and the self parent or guardian of the parent child. The same goes back to the 13th of September. And again, part of the only issue that we agreed was the start date when that comes into effect from. But we think, I don't know if members want to agree with that. There are any comments?
Item 12, correspondence statement from the Minister of Health, being noted emotional mental health and well-being.
Thank you. Well, that's in response to my notice of motion back in June regarding mental health and government strategy. So, I had an opportunity to read the letter, and I would like to welcome the Minister for responding and confirming that the evaluation of the Bamford report is now near completion, and that the Health Minister will be put into executive in the autumn, which will hopefully inform the way forward. In terms of the regards to suicide prevention, the Minister is also agreeing to the Council here regarding the new draft suicide prevention strategy, which is called Protect Life 2, which also is at a very advanced stage of development, and that actually will be a key strategy for suicide prevention right across not only this country but indeed the whole of Northern Ireland. I'm also pleased that the Minister has also informed us, which I wasn't aware of myself, about the Mental Capacity Act, which has had definitely to reduce the stigma of mental health. And finally, I look forward to the Health Minister bringing the findings from both the Bamford Review and the Suicide Prevention Strategy for Plankley to the Executive in the autumn. And the only one possible clarification I was maybe seeking, but it may actually have to come from OFMDA, because they referred the letter to the Minister for Health, whether or not there is actually going to be a dedicated mental health and wellbeing strategy apart, separate from the suicide prevention strategy, because the suicide prevention strategy, by its very definition of the same suicide prevention, that's what that encompasses. And my notice of motion was looking at the wider mental health strategy and mental health well-being. So I don't know whether it would be possible to get clarification on either from the Minister of Health or from OFMDFM, because that was the original notice of motion.
Maybe we'll get transmission by written letter. In addition to that, there is a suicide prevention, national suicide awareness public seminar on Thursday night, 7-9 in the Newcastle Centre. So, if anyone that is interested or feels that they know anyone that might benefit from it, if you can pass that word by to us.
Thanks, Chair. It's loosely connected with the topic we're discussing. I know Arsene Rennick from our URI offices has been working very closely with the Mental Health Department in URI, and she was able to support them in a project in the sports centre quite recently, where they got a group of young men who have become very isolated within their communities because of their mental health issues, and an extremely successful afternoon of football and sports with him, with those young men and some of their carers and supporters. A couple of those people came back to me, both those that took part and those that supported them, and said that it was a fantastic day and greatly appreciated by all involved. So on behalf of those people, I would just like to note to everyone that Ashling and the council were very supportive, and it was very, very much appreciated, and hopefully it is something that we in the council can build on in the future to support them.
Thank you, Ashling. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Chairperson. Just quite a bit of information on item 11. I think the last sentence indicates we might have to write back indicating that we are happy as opposed to just noting it. So it might be useful to do that.
Sorry, that's what I was going to say. I just have to take a bit of commitment to get on to it.
Okay, we have these as well. So we don't know, we're actually going to 9, reach 13. And that's the appointment of members to the board of the Warm Point Harbour. And I just like to send my welcome to Ben Hannah on to that.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'm looking very much. I'm looking forward to getting a to being a big part of this. I'm just my lugubrious greatest after horror. I'm trying to get used to the German heat of it. I'm trying to like Sean and things like that. There's quite a few out ahead of me. So,
Sean Jordan and I are there, so you can actually
congratulate
us for the work
that
we've done.
Don't worry about it, Jim. You'll be there to keep me right, Steve. You'll be there to keep me right. Chair, don't know if I'm going to see a good little fella, you
think? That's a table reserve comment. Okay, so then we'll move on to the correspondence from Northern Ireland Courts and Tribunal Services regarding the single jurisdiction in Northern Ireland. So, this for nothing.
Okay, Chair, any comments?
Okay.
The statement of documents. Just to run through them there for the record, the agreement between the Irish Islands Firecraft Community Association, leads to signing agreement, Urie and Warren Council to Silvery Light Sailing, portion of land of the Albert Basin. 9-month license agreement, Urie Course Fishing and Angling Club, the Albert Basin, and the retrospective approval for the major awards, license agreement. Release of deed of covenant and charge between the council and our golf club. License agreement, use of land of Clarendon Park from the 1st to the 3rd of December for the Pride and Urie event. Submission of R21 to the Northern Ireland local government pension scheme, Northern Ireland agreement. And finally, the license agreement between the council and Leggish and I for the work compound in relation to the work we really work at Castle Valley Library. So maybe get a proposal second from the Lord Chairman.
Item 15, notice of motion received from Councillor William Clark. So,
all right, thanks, Chair. This is a motion that we were lobbied on. Some councillors were lobbied on by Amnesty International. Myself and Councillor Brown submitted the motion. I was in for so I didn't propose it, and Councillor Brown seconded the motion. We're supporting the Amnesty International campaign against hate crimes and have submitted this motion for consideration of the council. We're hoping for all party support and that this will become the policy of the council. Amnesty International's campaign with a clear objective. Supporters who were concerned about the reported rise of racist and xenophobic incidents and hate crimes since the EU referendum were to ask their local council to table this motion at their next appropriate council meeting. The rise in hate crime was primarily in England. Levels have slightly reduced in the north compared to last year. I think this is to be welcome. We need to continue the downward trend in regards to hate crime, because one hate crime is one to none. The substance of the motion is that the council restates that we are proud to live in a diverse and tolerant society. Council condemns racism, xenophobia, and hate crimes. We will not allow hate to become acceptable. Council reassures all people living in Newry, Mourne and Down that they are valued members of our community, and council resolves to work to ensure local bodies and programs that are needed to fight and prevent racism and xenophobia. I think it sends out a very positive message if the statement is made that Newry, Mourne and Down is a tolerant place to live for all citizens. We have a lot of people who are immigrants working here, a lot of citizens from many different ethnic backgrounds working in our hospitals and our schools, agri-food industry, fishing industry, further education, retail industry, manufacturing, craft, recycling industry, hospitality sector, and many, many more places of work. But this is an opportunity for council to stand up and show the rejection of racism in all its forms. It's also about showing support and solidarity for our ethnic minority communities who have contributed so much to the cultural diversity of our society. And we want to send out a clear message that racist attitudes or attacks will not be tolerated in Newry, Mourne and Down, or anywhere else across the island, or the islands indeed. Nobody should have to live in fear, so despite what the PSNI and Eric Council, local businesses, statutory stakeholders, and the wider community all work together and take a zero tolerance approach to hate crimes wherever and whenever they will come. Our council area is a great place to live because it is a vibrant and diverse community. We oppose completely those who are trying to divide the community. Our clear message is that there's no place for hate crimes during the one and during. And I'd like to pay tribute to the people who are working on the ground in regards to community relations, including council officers. And also in PCSP and voluntary groups and other community groups and other statutory partners. And then, in regards to hate crime, we hear that your initial comments, Chair, in regards to a number of people getting attacked for their sexuality in Newry. I think that highlights the type of hate crime that is out there and that cannot be tolerated. Everybody has the right to live and to socialize in our community. And so I hope we get the support of the full chamber. I move the motion.
Thank you, Chair. I fully agree with everything Councillor Clark has said there. As he mentioned at the start, I was also canvassed by Amnesty International regarding this motion and submitted a motion. Councillor Clark was fortunate enough to get in just before me there, so I'm more than happy to second this motion tonight. The motion came on the back of a rise in hate crimes and racist outbursts after the EU referendum campaign in May across the UK. Unfortunately, a small and unrepresentative minority have used the outcome of Brexit and the actions of right-wing opportunistic politicians, the likes of Nigel Farage, to legitimise their agenda of ignorant hate. We must all speak out now against this growing problem, I feel. This is not just specific to Brexit and attacks on immigrants, of course. Homophobic attacks, for example, have increased by 75% over the last few years in Northern Ireland. This is particularly prevalent given the attack in Newry over the weekend. The Alliance Party has been highlighting the need for a single equality bill in Northern Ireland, which can harmonise existing equality and anti-discrimination measures and update and strengthen equality provisions and help us better tackle hate crime.
Sure, thank you very much. And our party will also be supporting the motion, and I just hope it includes all hate crimes, which I'm sure it will, whether it's on individuals or whether it's on property, being church property, chapel property, Orange Hall or whatever. You know, we must condemn all hate crimes in our province. But we also got an email asking to bring this motion forward, and what our party did do is make contact with the PSNI, and we were actually told that there is no rise in our own Newry Mormon Down area, there is no rise in hate crimes in the Newry Mormon Down area, and that has officially come from the PSNI. We were actually told that in terms of Northern Ireland Way, it's actually down. So while it might be happening on the mainland, thank God it's not happening in Newry Mormon Down. But nevertheless, we support the motion in relation to hate crimes, and we hope it's all hate crimes.
Thanks, welcome. Did you not hear my statement at the start of the fight?
I'm adding my voice to the support for this motion. I know they're probably giving my age away when I say that I left Derry in 1974 to go and work in England. Coventry, Leicester, Corby, places like that. And I'm old enough to know the signs that used to be in the boarding houses. No blacks, no Irish, no dogs. I saw those signs. The 1976 Race Relations Act was brought in, and initially, for the first 10 years, didn't cover Irish people. I experienced assaults on myself when I was working in England as a young man. It took a challenge to the European Court, and a challenge indeed that one of my family members was involved in, to bring about a victory in 1989 to change the law so that white people, like Irish people, or Poles, or Welsh people, would also be recognised as racial minorities under the Race Relations Act, which subsequently forced the amendment in 2000 to broaden the scope of the Race Relations Act in the UK. So this is something that involves us all. This is not some remote notion. This is something that's in the here and now. And bringing it up to date, today now, as a governor of a school of Irish-speaking children in this county district, and indeed the father of Irish-speaking children, who have been assaulted on buses by people who have objected to them speaking Irish to each other on the bus, perfectly innocently, 8, 9, 10 years of age, by adults who should know better, because they've been egged on by people speaking in the public arena, allowing hate statements against Irish speakers to be reported in the local press and in the national press in this area. I get again, in the year 2016, I'm reliving the experience I had in 1974, 1975, 1976, and even up to 1989, until the 2000 Act was introduced in the UK. Racism is present with us. It takes many forms. It's hateful and it's detestable. And that there are people in this council chamber who actually manifested signs of that hateful, forceful thinking in the past. Thank you.
Chair, thank you. I keep my remarks slightly. I just want to say, certainly at our party, that it's very happy to support the motion as it stands also. I think we all, as elected representatives, have a duty to ensure that we play our part in making sure that there's tolerance all across the society. Particularly when we do make statements and where we have a public profile. But In this day and age, it's not acceptable that these types of attacks and crimes do take place. And so we do have a duty to local government body to ensure that we do all we can to ensure that these attacks are eradicated once for all. So we are very happy to support the motion.
Okay,
Councillor Rennie. Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm very concerned about Councillor Rennie's comment about Nigel Farage. Nigel Farage is a friend of mine. He stayed in my home on a number of occasions, and I never once in 9 years of working with him once heard him make a racist comment. And I think Councillor Brown, you know, these opportunist comments we have don't help. There were 17.6 million people voted to leave the EU, the biggest recorded vote in British political history. Now, are those 17.6 million people the type of Neanderthal bigots and racists that Councillor Brown tries to imply you are if you voted to leave the EU?
Small
no. No. Well, Madam Chair, in terms of racism and discrimination, nobody who lives in Uri and Mourne from the Protestant Irish community would want to have imposed on them or on anyone else what we have imposed on us by this council in terms of being denied resources and access to facilities and whatever in the same way that our people have. And no minority group would want to have an alien culture run down their throat the way that this council does against the Protestant Unionist community. In the vociferous and the belligerent way that it rams the Irish language down the throats of people who don't want it. And, you know, this council can't just talk, you know, all these kind gestures as if we're some sort of personification of decency, you know, the equivalent of the political Mother Teresa in Northern Ireland. We're not. And we shouldn't try to pretend that we are. And another issue, too, that Willie should recognise is that there are many people who come in here from abroad, foreigners, who are the most homophobic, racist people I have ever come across in my life. Now, people from Northern Ireland and people throughout the British Isles are generally friendly, welcoming people. But I know people who are not from these islands who would make you scared after some of their comments, some of their very, very extreme right-wing comments. And I don't think that those sort of views should be imported into this country. But it's just a wee bit hypocritical to hear the council trying to portray itself as some sort of personification of political decency when we're clearly not, and the way that we do abuse the Protestant minority within this council.
Yeah, well, first of all, their parties have to support the motion. And I sort of take comfort from the words, especially around the attack on Saturday night, to the five LGBT activists. So I echo everything that was said across the room. There's one sort of point that I do want to make that Councillor Walker has said, that there isn't a right in this area in hate crimes. But I have to remind them that there's a lot of hate crimes that haven't fought. And we have to keep in mind that the words that we say here carry a lot of power, and the message that we send out from this council should be one of quality and use for everybody. So I welcome all the comments, especially with that today, and we support the motion for it.
Thank you, Jeremy. And I would also like to support the motion of X-ray anyway, to highlight the efforts and to carry on. But you know, I really have to take an issue with some of Henry's coming out there, you know. I've heard of Neil Legacy Council time after time after time again. And in my eyes, the unionist people in Newry and Lord, and a minority of people in that area, were treated with the utmost respect, to be honest. And their councillors and their representatives were likewise. And I was never in a position to round down Henry's throat or any of the other unionists. Step on the council. And in fact, most of the time, vast majority of the time, we got along very, very well together. We worked together to follow the lives of people of all religions and none. But from coming out here, you know, and coming out with the nonsense that there are foreigners who come into this country and that they are more racist and more nasty than our own local people, I don't know, where's the evidence to support that?
Thank you.
Where are the court cases for that? Where are the people in jail for the various race crimes that he reports that they're from? And what happened? The message stands out there that some people would say, oh, those foreign people are hurting them. They're creating problems for us. They're taking our jobs, they're taking our houses, they're taking our women, even us, these sometimes here. It's so unbelievably stupid. But that lie is peddled. And it's being peddled here tonight. Unfortunately, not enough people are standing up and saying that's wrong. It's completely wrong. And it shouldn't be allowed to go unanswered. Thank you, Mum.
Councillor
Trant,
do you
want to
sum up?
Thanks. I'd like to welcome all the positive remarks to deal with. Just in regards to the PSNI statistics, I would agree that a lot of new citizens or immigrants coming over to a new country don't feel comfortable about going to the establishment, going to government offices or going to the police, because the experiences they've had in their own homeland, and they are very wary about reporting the impacts of business, because they're here to make a better life generally for themselves. So the last thing they want to do is really bring a focus and attention on themselves. The victim also can't see at that time. So I think by bringing the motion, we're trying to build that confidence in new citizens and give them the confidence to report these incidents. And it brings me on with Henry saying that Davey sort of touched on it in regards to not having a pop, but if there's four citizens and they're making racist and homophobic commentary about people, then if Henry had that information, he needs to bring that forward to BSNI. And if he had that evidence, he has to bring it forward to BSNI so that these people will be charged and brought before a court and sentenced. There's no point in this hearsay or somebody said this or somebody said that. You need the hard facts, you need to bring it forward, and you need a step up to the plate. In relation to what Billy was saying in regards to the hate crimes, including sectarian and homophobic attacks, all of them attacks are wrong. And this is about a new beginning and about the council moving forward and the fresh start and all that. This is us. I think we do have a decent relationship in this chamber, and from the two guys, you can't say with a decent relationship as well. And what it's about is making a better life for everybody in our community. And get away from now that picking and bickering, the people are fed up. They're there to represent all the people, and we need to stop dividing this, unionist and nationalist areas, and we need to stop that and move on and build a better future for everybody as we do that. I'll just leave it at that, but I'd just like to again mention to the people, who were attacked on Friday night, anything that the council can do, they will do. The church has already said that. And we must support everybody who is being attacked. For whatever reason, it's not right, and it needs to end. And we have to support them people to enable them to do that. So I'm happy for that, sir.
Okay, so motion has been proposed by Councillor Walker, seconded by Councillor Brown. Is anyone in agreement?
No, just in agreement.
Only the first one of your own. So, item 78, those motion was taken by Councillor Walker.
Sir, thank you very much. And thanks for letting me table the motion. The motion reads that this council totally opposes the threatened closure of Ballina Hench and Newcastle Social Security offices and calls upon the Minister for Communities to review the proposed closures. As a lot of us are aware, it has got out in the public domain that there's a review of Ballina Hench and Newcastle Social Security offices. I've been contacted by a number of staff in Ballina Hench and a number of claimants in Ballina Hench, thus bringing the motion forward to council. Now, the Ballina Hench office has 21 staff working there, 12 in the job seekers department, 4 in the careers department, and 5 in the job center department. Now, they deal with hundreds of claimants per month. For example, in May, the job seekers dealt with 489 claimants. In June, that jumped to 596 claimants. And in July, it dropped again to 448 claimants. Now, these figures just relate to job seekers. They don't relate to people going to the job market within it, or going to the career section within it. And my motion is simple, that we write to the Minister for Communities, who are the member of my own party, and ask him to not close Newcastle and Ballinahinch. The reason being, the staff are going to be relocated if it does happen to either Downpatrick or Lisburn. All these claimants are either going to have to go to Downpatrick or Lisburn. Now, if they decide to close them, particularly the Ballinahinch one, which is in my own electoral area, it's going to affect the most vulnerable and the hard up in our society. There's people there that go to get their forms and all filled in. A lot of these people don't drive, so they're maybe not going to have the money for a bus to take them to Lisburn or a bus to take them to Downpatrick. I'm saying, enough's enough. We had job cutbacks at the Ballinahinch office a number of years ago. So we did. And they're in a skeleton staff at the minute, but you only have to look at the number of claimants that is going through the doors of the Ballinahinch office. And I believe that number of claimants warrants the Ballinahinch office remaining opening. And the same with the Newcastle one. Now, I'm asking for a letter to go from this council, a very strong letter. I do know the Member of Parliament for Strangford is meeting the Minister for Communities along with myself on the 26th of this month. So I would like to think that the letter from the council, if supported by my fellow councillors in the chamber, will be there prior to that meeting, because I will be telling the Minister in no certain terms that it's hands off Ballinahinch Social Security Office and hands off Newcastle Social Security Office. So I move the motion.
Thank you, Chair. I'm hoping that Councillor Walker will accept a slight amendment. Although Downpatrick isn't closing, there is a reduction of jobs within the Downpatrick office where staff that work on the social fund programme are being relocated to outside Downpatrick. For example, the telephone service to support discretionary support loans, grants, and short benefit advances are going to be located in Antrim and Dungannon jobs and benefits office. Already 50% of staff have been forced to move jobs, and although this is out of choice, Chair, it's more out of fear of not having an option or choice come October. The finance support frontline service that's in my present is relocating to Rathkelter, but I understand there's no plans currently to increase the team. And as Councillor Walker highlighted, if the closure of the Ballinahinch in Newcastle goes ahead, the increased pressure on the staff will just increase significantly. So I'm hoping, Chair, that Councillor Walker will accept that amendment of the increase of the Downpatrick office and that we oppose the reduction in jobs for the services. So I'm happy to accept the motion.
Well, I was
going to
second
that,
but Chair, just on that there, especially on the Newcastle one, which is my day, to be quite honest with you, this is going to pretty much affect those who are in the most difficult circumstances. So, those who can't travel with ease, those who really do need face to face consultations, so they do. And Newcastle to Downpatrick, it's a bus trip at the very least, to be quite honest with you. It's something that people partly are in difficulty there to find the money to even do it. So it is. The other thing that I would have concerns about as well, this has all come about from a leak. I suspect this leak was intentional. Just that, to be quite honest with you, I think this leak was intentional just simply to put the feelers out there to see what reaction there is coming from the community. If we, the local elected representatives, do not take this up, I reckon the next target I possibly think will be Kilkenny. Kilkenny is even more isolated than what Newcastle or Ballina Hinks is. So I'm happy that Council Sherman has seconded the motion, but I would be very, very strongly in favour of the council putting a really strong letter in, and possibly even a meeting being attempted there to put forward our deep concerns about this. But I honestly do believe that this leak was intentional. I do believe I was just putting the feelers out there so I wanted to see how we would react. I know it's only a consultation and review stage at the moment, but we do need to do something with this. So I'm happy that Councillor Sherman has seconded it, and I'm very much in support of what Councillor Walker has said. Thank you.
Yes, thanks, Chair. Can I also thank Councillor Walker for bringing forward this motion? I also share the strong concerns raised before me here on these threatened office closures and the potential impact that this may have, firstly on the staff employed in the offices and those people in the local community who depend on the services provided by the Newcastle, particularly the MyDNEA and the Ballinahinch Social Security offices. So both myself and my party colleagues will be there for supporting the motion. Thanks.
Thanks,
Chair.
I have a very brief summary. Sure. Should be able to be supporting the motion entirely. And I think I'm not going over everything that other members said, but the citizen has to be the main focus of the department. And it also the citizen, the claimant, has to be the main focus because it's Billy out there as well. Many of these people are very vulnerable and they need face-to-face contact to fill their forms in. Many of them couldn't travel on the bus anyway. They wouldn't have been comfortable traveling on the bus. So there was a commitment given that there would be no frontline offices closed. So I think this is a reneging by the department in regards to that. I know Mickey Brady, MP, Neary, has had a number of meetings in regards to that. And again, he has received commitments that there will be no frontline offices closed. So it's like a mixed message, I think Glenn is quite correct. And when this document was leaked on the website, it was probably to test the water of what people would think. Because it was also closed down with the other offices. Mentioned that it would close also, and I'm sure elected representatives will be fighting pretty hard up there as well. And, so I just can't understand why they would invest money, or think of Newcastle, invest a large amount of money to fill the job market in the DHSS office, and also talking about putting new heating systems in within the next couple of months. So that's why we asked the board to be talking about if they are talking to closing down. There's such a a mixed message out there. But I'm totally in support of writing to the minister. And if anything, we need a meeting, then we certainly do that. I think local staff need certainty also. And when people talk about going to Lisbon or going to the fabric, people have family, they have children based in schools. They pick them up at certain time. There's carers involved. They're looking after elderly residents or relatives. You know, and there's a lot of complications in regards to that. And many of these people have built their life around their job. And so there's a lot of uncertainty there and a lot of damage to morale in these offices. So I think it's important that we get a clear commitment from the department that they won't be closing the frontline offices.
Thank you. I'm sorry to follow the next year. So, again, just to get me in support for the organization, similar problems for DEA in the rural area, or split between Newcastle and Social Security offices on the Capital Valley side. and I'm in Social Security Office on the Buffalo Road towards some Esther accident. So you have two offices that they work with those, and they're sincerely hope that they don't. We've had a plan of impact on CPDs in the area, so we have various areas of CPD that are verified in the class of offices. And just to reiterate what Mr. Wayne Carpenter said, it's quite clear that a lot of money was spent on Newcastle in terms of upgrading the new windows, doors, and the air access. So, as Mr. Carpenter said, we absolutely needed from the Minister. We spent an awful lot of money, didn't have a figure, but that's just worth the public money if you thought you'd say, we're getting the money to be happy with this kind of tools. So, I think it's really important that the House of Law will allow you to take reference to that there, that the money was spent on Newcastle Security Office. Thank you.
Okay.
Councillor
Walker,
do you
want to come up?
Thank you very much, and I'd like to thank the councillors for their support. I would also say that not just in relation to the minister, that we seek an urgent meeting with the cross-party meeting in relation to this, because I believe, you know, really work on special in face-to-face cross-party, and the letters are so on, saying that we're opposed to this. I hope we can get this into the end of the meeting. So I would encourage that we send a letter saying
our we're disgusted at the thought of these maybe threatened closures. I'm seeking an urgent meeting with them. But I want to thank all the councillors for supporting the motion.
Okay, so it's been proposed by Councillor Walker, seconded by Councillor Sharvin. Is there an agreement? Okay, so we'll send a letter and ask for a meeting. Okay. Item 18, notice of motion received from Councillor Clark. After discussion with Councillor Clark, the decision has been made to make this public relations understanding order 16.1 bracket 6. This removes the good relations, and I'm aware that Patrick Clark is not a member of that good relations team, but I'm inviting Patrick to come along to the next good relations meeting. And to have his say, then whatever recommendations are made of that, to invite him along to the FPNR committee, and which he can have his say at that time as well. Okay? So, I would like Councillor Clark to propose the motion. Okay, we can go back. But we can just speak there. I didn't hear Margaret.
Just a very good
Okay. I'm not trying to go through the relations person. We're concerned that we will move then to SPNR and you can have this say again at the SPNR. Yes, thanks, Mike. Okay, it will go to the Good Relations Committee and then it will go to the FPNR Committee. So then it's the proposal.
Sure, I'd make a proposal to go to the Good Relations. Because to be honest, this motion is going to cause division. And these type of things must be discussed at the Good Relations Forum. Because of your antics, flags are staying up longer.
Councillor Walker, I have made a decision that it is going to Good Relations under standing orders. I have the right to decide, and it is going to Good Relations. It was then transferred to SDNR. So, thank you very much, and have a pleasant and safe journey home.
Thank you.